and I stopped in and I spoke to his brother, Mike, and I left my card and I just said, you know, this is who I am. This is what I do. And it was like 6 hours later, Mark emailed me and he's like, this sounds awesome. And I really want to get to know you. And I think that there's stuff that we can do together. And we just completely hit it off. And since then, we've been doing a lot of stuff together.
This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 548 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Mark Lenzi and Kim Simone about their Wonderful World of Wine podcast. Our conversation was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We find out about the story of Mark and Kim and the making of the Wonderful World of Wine. The recording runs about 35 minutes, so let's listen into this conversation with Kim and Mark. So Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR.FM anywhere on the internet, and 102.9 on the local Franklin area dial. Today, we've got a special episode with Kim Simone and Mark Lenzi to talk about some wine. Kim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us on your show, Stephen.
You're welcome. You know, the calendar finally aligned. The stars aligned. So, you know, I'll take the opportunity. And Mark, it's good to see you.
Good seeing you and talking with you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, Kim, why don't you give us a little bit of background for some folks who may not know, why are you talking about wine?
Great. Well, I'm talking about wine because it's the thing that I probably know the best in the whole wide world. Mark and I sort of randomly got to know each other 5 or 6 years ago. I had just moved to Norfolk, Massachusetts. So right next door to Franklin, I'm only about a 10-minute drive away. And I had left my retail wine job, which I had had for quite a while. And I've been doing wine for quite a long time. I've been in the wine business since about 2002. I have my graduate degree in gastronomy, which is not medical studies, but is food and wine studies.
Food and wine.
And as we kind of made the change to moving down here and, you know, doing a little bit more of the suburban lifestyle, I didn't really want to do the commute into Boston anymore. And it was a great time for me to start my own business, which I had dreamed about for a while. And I've always been very interested in educational wine. It was always my favorite thing to do when I worked retail, was just, you know, getting to know my customers and just getting like really excited with them to talk about their favorite wines and their vacations and where they had been. And, you know, showing them new things that maybe they had never tried before, but that sort of fit with the kind of stuff that they liked to drink. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I latched on to that part of the business, and there was really no good place for me in the industry. So I was like, well, what the heck? You know, we're starting this whole new life down here. I had a kindergartner. I had another small child. So I think my kids were 3 and 5 when we moved here. And I was like, this is a perfect time for me to start my own wine education business. And what I did was I just kind of, you know, went around and wanted to meet all the local retailers and the local restaurant folks and just kind of get to know who was in the area. And I stopped into Mark's store because they had such good reviews on Yelp and on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I stopped in and I spoke to his brother, Mike, and I left my card and I just said, you know, this is who I am. This is what I do. And it was like 6 hours later, Mark emailed me and he's like, this sounds awesome. And I really want to get to know you. And I think that there's stuff that we can do together. And we just completely hit it off. And since then, we've been doing a lot of stuff together. So we've taken classes together. We run classes together. And as things sort of developed, the opportunity to do the radio show, you know, came about. And he is very much interested in education. Like that's their niche for the store. And it's my right. thing too. So it was just a really perfect fit and the timing was great. So it was just really nice for the two of us to be able to get together and put together all of this content and all of this programming so that we can bring, you know, sort of fun wine information, wine current topics and a lot of just sort of info to the general public here in the Franklin area and beyond with our, you know, with the podcast. So
absolutely. Between the podcast and certainly the radio with the WFPR.fm available anywhere. Yes, that's a big advantage. So Mark, you hit the lottery, so to speak, when she walked in and left her card.
Yeah. And I was trying to think, we always think back, people always ask us how we met. And I always thought, Kim, that I had sent you a message first because I stalked you about wine education or something. And then you stopped.
No, I think it was me. Anyway, I started.
Anyway, so one of us.
We'll resolve that some other
one
time.
One of us started. Yeah. Who knows?
Wow.
It was meant to be.
It was perfect timing. I mean, family-owned business, and one of the things I saw as the future for businesses our size, we had to do something unique. And that was, we had our own wine education and a wine tasting room where people are taken out of the store, and we focus on education and tasting of wine and introducing people to the people behind the wine. And what better way to do that is to do it ourselves. And then I found out I was in a little bit of trouble, Steve, because I had to do the business and find a way to do all this other stuff. So
you don't have enough time to do both.
I mean, come on,
you know?
So then Kim and I just went crazy. We hooked up with a lot of towns to do adult education, and people always laugh because schools do offer wine education, and we hosted here because obviously you can't bring the wine onto campuses, but we started with Franklin, Tri-County, it's grown to Norfolk and Medway and Sharon and Milford. So we built up curriculum with those schools. And then that led to starting the Franklin Wine Club, which was a meetup club that we do events with. And then, like Kim said, it worked right into the radio. So all that education just, it flowed right in, and it was perfect timing for the podcast and the radio show to do it. So
sure.
It worked out great. Yeah.
Definitely. No, it's been certainly one of the complicators of getting us scheduled. And as folks may recall that, you know, I do a lot of my meeting reportings during the nights. So it's been a frustration for me because I haven't been able to go to one of your wine classes yet, because it always seems to get scheduled with some meeting or there's something on the calendar or something else. It's like, one of these days I'll get there.
Yeah. Now with this whole COVID ending, I think we'll be going full blast pretty soon because people will be very excited to get out.
Renewal. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Soon.
Yes. Yes.
We might even start to be able to record in the same room again.
Instead of virtually?
Yeah. We've been recording virtually since the beginning of the pandemic. So since the middle of March of 2020.
Right.
Mark's been in his studio and I've been in whatever this room is now. It's like the home office slash guest room slash place that the cat likes to hang out.
Yeah.
So, we've made it work, and I feel like we've been very consistent with keeping our content. And there's actually been a lot to talk about over the last year because, you know, Mother Nature doesn't slow down for a human pandemic. So wine was still being made, grapes were still ripening on the vine. And, you know, it really brought into focus how much of, you know, people's livelihoods and businesses could be impacted on like a real micro level by looking at it through the eyes of dealing with these sorts of things with the pandemic. Right. So we got to see, you know, so many different parts of our industry really affected by people either having to stay home or, you know, changes in purchasing and, you know, no restaurants. And so therefore, where are people going, you know, for their food and for their wine? And it's been a very different and very interesting year.
I'm sure, because clearly from, at least from my understanding, as the outsider looking in to the wine industry, it's naturally, so you've got the organic earth life cycle. So the growing cycle that doesn't change with a pandemic.
Right.
But all the people that are doing the work and or receiving the end product, that's where the changes were.
Right.
Did you have any significant kind of, you know, supply shortages along that way that I know you know, certainly toilet paper got the big news, but I don't know if there was any supply shortage along on the wine side that I had heard of along the way.
Yeah, it took a while to kick in, but there were some shortages. Actually, more now things with issues than during the peak of the COVID. Mm. But we did have issues just like any other product. Mm-hmm. Like one thing that's really not changed, luckily, is the prices have not gone crazy. There was a tariff that was involved with the European countries for a while, and that came off. So some things went way up,
right?
And I think they'll start to come down a little bit, but nothing crazy like the toilet paper thing. Or that's a good thing about the wine world, Steve, and Kim and I talk about this all the time. If there's one thing you don't find, there's a ton of other choices out there. You know, as many toilet paper styles in wine on the shelf. You
know? So is that going to be a new singularity term for the wine? The new toilet paper styles?
Yeah.
For
wine? We'll compare wine to anything. You know,
there's it's
a topic. We'll find something to talk about. And it never ends. And it's always funny when we go to do a show, we have so many topics. We always have too many topics. And then we kind of go through and decide, you know, what's hot, and Kim likes to do, you know, what's trending right now, what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then we try to bring in some educational things as well, but there's it's never ending.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It's never ending. Certainly from my, even just my reporting on the town business, of which we've had conversations from time to time over the store about, well, what's going on here? What's going on there? There's always something going on. And then preparing for the radio and then ultimately the podcast, you still want to kind of make it, as much as it's trending and current, you want to make it fresh and yet green to a certain extent that it can live on for a bit as well, which I think in wine, you know, certainly it ages over time. So you probably have that developed in your mindset as to what you're trying to do when you go forward with this.
Yeah. And the whole thing about the name of the show, the Wonderful World of Wine, it's just amazing how small of an industry it is. I mean, Kim and I have met people that in the same circle that it's just amazing. And we go to find people for interviews, and I've approached some serious, you know, my idols in the wine mm-hmm. world, right. And they just want to be on the show and talk about wine.
Yep.
It's just amazing how that mm-hmm. thing bonds people together.
And it's one of those industries that does, like you said, Mark, seem small, and especially, you know, state to state. Like, I feel like everyone in Massachusetts who is, you know, in the wine industry and has been in the wine industry for a long time, you know, the degrees of separation between you and anybody else is like two or one, you know, everybody kind of knows who everybody is. And I like to joke that, you know, once you get into this industry, you don't get out of it. You just move around it. So, I mean, I've had, I don't know, 5-6 jobs in this industry in Massachusetts in the last 20 years. And, you know, you keep kind of meeting the same people just in different, you know, in different companies mm-hmm. and, you know, right. they're kind of doing slightly different things. Sure. But, you know, what's been great about the way that Mark and I approach it is, you know, we have slightly different backgrounds, and we come at it from different perspectives. And my experience over the last couple of years has been from a restaurant perspective, which I had never had before. I was mostly retail, just like Mark. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that has added an extra layer of, I feel like, interest and things that I can contribute to the podcast that are different from what Mark contributes. So, you know, I could always throw in things about, like, you know, how difficult COVID has been for restaurants, whereas, you know, it's been a little bit easier and, dare I say, better for retailers. So, you know, it's like both ends of the seesaw, and it's good that we can throw in those things that, yes, we, you know, are working in the exact same industry, but have different perspectives, even through the same, you know, the same things that we're all kind of going through.
And your continuing education, I think we started talking before recording, your new role is more fully in education, I think, going forward, right?
Right. So, you know, we all had to kind of figure out what to do with ourselves during the pandemic. Mark was very, very busy because the wine store was still open.
Sure.
But so my previous position, I was the corporate sommelier for the Legal Seafoods Group. And when COVID hit, it really, it was bad. Yeah, like really bad.
Legal Seafoods has been in a couple of headlines at least.
Yeah, Legal has been in the news a bit lately.
Mm-hmm.
So we completely shut down like the third week of March, all the restaurants, March of 2020. You know, most of us were furloughed. Probably half of us ended up losing our positions.
Right.
And then the company was purchased by a different restaurant group. So, you know, it's been very up and down for Legals over the last year and a little bit more. But it did leave a little bit of sort of extra time to reflect and to do other things. And I think what is a similarity that Mark and I have is that we're always trying to improve ourselves when it comes to our knowledge base. And there are lots and lots and lots of ways that we can do that within our own industry. So there are a lot of certification programs, you know, not just for casual, you know, wine consumers who want to learn a little bit more about wine, but we have a lot of like professional certificates and certifications mm-hmm. that we can earn. So, Mark has done way more than I have, it seems like. Like every time I go into the tasting room, there's another certificate on the wall. It's like, oh my goodness, what are you doing
another
now?
Another notch in the belt.
But we've taken, we've taken some time over this last year to get some new certifications. So that's been good too. You know, we're both kind of geeky that way. Like I love school. I just kind of want to always stay in school. And Mark is just, you know, like he's always doing some program. So you just finished this big Italian program, Mark. I just did a very intensive Spanish program. And now I'm shifting a little bit and I'm doing a little bit of beer. So there's a lot of cool, fun stuff going on for us.
Yeah. That was the good thing I think that came out of this was this, the webinars and the access to classes online that you could never do in person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we took advantage. I mean, I took Cornell had a beer certificate. I did a Cornell class. I did a UC Davis food class. So I was certified by these two, you know, prestigious schools that you could mm-hmm. never, you mm-hmm. could never do that remotely before. So
right. It's
for me, it's been fun. It's I had the time too, because we weren't doing events. We weren't doing classes. Yeah. So that's rare to find that much time. So
true. That's where you have to make the opportunity while it's there, because as you go forward, who knows what's going to happen, right?
Right.
But
and it all leads to more content that we can talk about. I mean, and do classes about, and it's better for us to
and the not more just we more, know. But kind of the better depth within the content too. Mm-hmm. I would wager,
right?
Yeah, because I think if you're not aware, I know some of my listeners have heard I had retired September 2019, spent October interviewing the town council and school committee candidates. Now that I was retired, I could hit 19 of the 21. So that was great. Figured I was going to do a lot more in person. And then, COVID hit. Mm-hmm. So here I am back in my, you know, home office, still doing things via Zoom and, you know, virtual, as if I had never left work, but all doing the Franklin Mattis reporting, Franklin Public Radio. So yeah, to your point, I was able to do, I think it was in excess of 100 meetings last year.
Wow.
Whereas the prior years, you know, 60 to 70, I mean, physically go into the meeting, but with a swivel seat kind of thing, you know, you could do 100
mm-hmm.
right. and back to back, you could still make them because it was just one click and one click. So
and we had talked about that a little bit in a couple of our shows about the kind of the pivot that our industry did, and people just reacted and responded really, really quickly mm-hmm. to all of these massive changes that had to take place. Like tasting rooms are closed and shipping is totally different and restaurants are shuttered. And how is it that all of these businesses that, I mean, for a lot of wine companies, wine producers, wine distributors, they're fairly small businesses. And if you're talking about, you know, these little guys in Italy or, you know, a small Oregon producer, they might only have, you know, 6 full-time people. And then, you know, folks that come in on more of a seasonal basis for, you know, vintage and picking and things like that. But it's been very interesting to see just how well a lot of wineries have adapted. and, you know, put their tasting room online, or, you know, change the way that they're trying to get their wine to the market, or, you know, their social media presence. And it's been different from state to state. It's been different from country to country. Like, we've addressed how difficult it's been in Italy for the last year, because they were hit so hard so right. early. Yep. And even just a couple of months ago, we were speaking to a social media star in Italy, and she was saying that she lives in, is it Lombardy that she yeah. lives in, Mark?
Yep.
And they're Italy, still yeah. like on lockdown. Like yeah. her kid can't go to school and she can't go right. out and do stuff. So, right. you know, we tend to think of our own perspective and our own experiences when it's come to this pandemic, but all across the world, it's been, you know, hitting people in different ways. And I feel like it's been, you know, really almost gratifying to see just how creative people in the wine world have been to deal with the situation that's been thrown at them and how they've responded. So it's, yeah, it's been a very interesting year.
So with the pandemics, it's not over by any means, although some of the restrictions are ebbing and starting to rescind. Mm-hmm. So you anticipate at some point in time in the near future, you know, having more in-person events and classes and the wine school resuming, et cetera, eventually?
Sure hope that we can get the wine club up and running again.
Yeah, I think
be really nice.
Yeah, people are going to want to get out and, you know, be in person again and mm-hmm. experience this. It's just we're taking it slow, and when we feel comfortable, everybody else is comfortable, we'll get together again.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of Zoom fatigue. Like, I think people are tired of doing online things. We're certainly seeing that at my new position. So I'm the manager of a wine school, brand new wine school that's based in Cambridge, called the Commonwealth Wine School. And we've been doing online classes since September, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, through the winter, it was very active, you know, January, sure. February, which are usually really quiet months when it comes to wine stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, people were very interested in doing classes and, you know, online stuff. And now I think we've really reached this this point where people are tired of doing things online, but they're maybe not necessarily comfortable about getting together in person
right.
again. So it's
right.
It's hopefully going to be a swift transition back to, you know, real in person. And I think people miss being with each other. And there's something about wine and the conviviality about tasting together and discussing what you're tasting, that it's so much better to do with a group of people, that I think we've really missed that over the last year. And I know that, you know, other industries have been this way, and certainly, you know, schools and other businesses, we haven't really been able to be as creative when we're in front of a screen talking to our peers or, you know, whatnot. But there's, you know, there's just something about the whole food and wine experience that when you're not with each other, it's, you know, deadened a little bit. And I'm really, really looking forward to having that camaraderie of tasting wine and discussing wine with people face to face again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially you, Mark. Can't wait. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like that movie experience. You can watch a movie at home.
Sure.
It's just not
yeah.
the same as when you go in the right. theater, right? So when you walk
in, rah-rah.
Yeah, when you walk into a tasting, you're smelling all the aromas of the wine.
Yeah.
And you're just getting feedback from everybody.
And that conversation, you know, it's like you can taste something by yourself and I can taste something by myself. But when we taste those things together, we get to talk about the, you know, the differences of your impressions and my impressions. And then when we have a room of 20 people, mm-hmm. it's so magnified
sure.
and everybody learns a lot, ourselves included. You know, we're talking about our continuing education a little bit ago, and, you know, all the classes that we do and all the events that we run, we still learn stuff, and we still get, you know, really excited when other people talk about it, or when other people in that like light bulb goes off over their heads and it's like, yes, like I'm doing what I should be doing. And that's a little bit harder to do when you're all virtual.
Definitely. There's certainly between food and wine, it's definitely a physical experience. So mm-hmm. you do need to be in person physically to truly get that full enjoyment out of it. Yeah. Having, you know, some of the holiday meals, you know, albeit, you know, Zoom centered, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we could see each other, we could still share, but you know, it just wasn't the same. So yeah, I'm ready to go back. to the new normal, whatever that new normal is going to be.
All right.
So amongst the topics, have you had kind of a favorite topic that you always want to go back to, or always, you know, kind of a seasonal topic perhaps?
Well, we always joke, but Kim loves bubbly, anything sparkling.
Bubbly. I knew you were going to bring up the bubbly. Yeah,
so we kind of bring that in a lot, it seems. But
not just New Year's and holidays?
No, all the time. Oh, my goodness. No. Oh. Yeah. I would drink bubbles. I probably open a bottle of bubbles a week, maybe two. Yeah, I would drink sparkling wine with everything. But I have a lot of interests, so I'm really all over the place when it comes to things. So, you know, we like doing the current events, but I'm a geek, so I really like the science of wine. Mm-hmm. Mark likes a lot of the tech, and you know, we talk about marketing and social media and those kind of things. So I mean, it's good because he has his favorites and I have my favorites, and we try to do a good mix of the two.
Right.
And every once in a while, you know, he'll throw something in there that I was not anticipating would be something Mark focused.
Google keyboard working, and all of a sudden, hey, let's do.
No. So, I mean, we try to keep it broad and interesting and a little bit different. So mm-hmm. There was one that he sent me last week or the week before about making, you know, like mixers using bottles of wine and making like simple syrups. And there, you know, I loved the one about all the bottles of wine that went up into the International Space Station and how does wine age in space? Like, I got all totally geeky about that.
Yeah,
and that, and Mark's like, this is not really interesting. I'm like, no, this is really interesting.
Oh, we've so already
sometimes
seen,
we have to struggle.
Yeah, we've already seen the astronauts coming back after, you know, long stays, and they physically changed. What was it, the Kelly twins?
Yeah.
You know, one physically is different from the other. So yep. Now, okay, we see what that happens to a body. Mm-hmm. What happens to the body of wine?
What happens to the wine? What happens to a plant? What happens to yeast? You know, what happens to insects? Like, I don't know. I'm totally, totally loving that stuff. But I think it's really good that we have different, you know, different interests and, you know, different things that we want to focus on, because it always keeps new stuff coming onto our show. And I think it gives a breath to our audience as well, because there are going to be some people who like the stuff that I'm talking about and some people who like the stuff that Mark is talking about. So we get to get a variety of people.
Right. And if I recall, having listened to more than a few, but I can't admit to it, listen to every single one of them, because you do have quite a number, but
it's a lot of episodes.
You tend to do about 20 to 30 minutes or so. That's kind of your sweet spot.
Yep. And we try to hit, you know, two or three topics for every show. So, and we don't really necessarily always want to keep it the same topic. Although sometimes we do, like around Thanksgiving, we'll do a food and wine pairing Thanksgiving show. And we always, you know, we do those kinds of things around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are questions that people ask us time and time again. Right. So buying guides around the holidays, you know, that's always very important to people. And it's, you know, good from a retail perspective, it's good from a restaurant perspective, and it's great to give new information about new wines to our audience, because there's always stuff happening. Like this year, they started producing pink Prosecco. So there's rosé Prosecco out there that was just released for Valentine's Day. So we were really, really excited to talk about that, because that's something new on the market. Mm-hmm. It's something hot. It's something trendy. Mm-hmm. And we really just wanted to get that out there without necessarily saying, well, you know, this is the brand that we want you to buy, because we're not necessarily wanting to advertise any particular wine out there, because that's not, you know, that's not what we're here for. We want to educate our listeners. So that was something that was, you know, kind of fun and new and hopefully interesting for people.
Yeah. The information and awareness and create the better buyer for when they walk into the store or the restaurant, so they don't get overwhelmed with a wine list. Well, where do I start? Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to get over that hump. Even I though I've been in the industry for 20 years, sometimes we'll walk into a wine shop that I've never been in before and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like deer in the headlights.
Well, to a certain extent, with all due respect, the restaurant, depending upon what type it is, if they're giving you the big book, you know, mm-hmm. the presence itself says, this is a big book. This is it's like almost the family Bible where you can treat it with care, as opposed to some other place, which may still have some great wine. It's more like, you know, a mimeograph sheet, mm-hmm. you know?
All right. Yeah. In the restaurants, it's the wine Bible, and in the retail, it's the wine wall. You just walk in and everything's just a big wall. You don't know. So, I mean, that's why we like to give tips. And there's every, you know, time we always joke, it's the top 10, this, the top five, that we work in a lot of health articles. There's always something good you can find that says drink wine. It's great for you. And then there's another two articles that say it's bad for you.
Right.
And we have guests on. We've met up with Kathy Clancy for the Natural Wine School, who we bring her on to talk about the health side of wine, about organic and what's good and what's bad. And mm-hmm. she does a lot of deep research on the truths behind it. So we like to talk to the listeners about that and stuff as well. So it's never ending. It really is.
That's one of the best things about wine too, is that, you know, you never get to the end of it. You never stop learning. And when you think you know everything, a new vintage comes out, and then it's like, okay, I got to start all over again.
Yeah.
So, you know, for some people, I can understand that that is frustrating and intimidating. And, you know, they kind of just want to turn it off because it's like, well, there's just too much for me to know. I'm not even going to try.
Right.
And then I think for other folks like Mark and myself, it's a challenge and it's exciting. And we're okay not knowing all the answers. And it's fun because it's an adventure. And it's like, I had a colleague who used to say that opening a bottle of wine was like opening a vacation. And it's true, because you can go all over the world in your one bottle of wine, and you can learn about the history of that place and the people of that place. And, you know, a little bit of the flavor and the food and the culture. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much to learn and so much to know and so much to enjoy that I feel like it is, you know, over and over again, a new experience and an exciting experience.
Good.
Can you tell I like what I do?
I was just going to say, if people are listening and don't recognize that she has a little bit of passion, a little bit of kick in her voice there, that's natural. I mean, it's just there.
I'm so lucky I found this career.
Hey, you know, that's what it takes, right?
We always joke, Steve, when we go for our physical, the doctor says, do you drink?
And how much do you drink and
how much
frequently?
Do you drink? Yes. And I say, I don't drink a lot, but I taste a lot of wine every year. So
yes. Yeah.
Different approach.
You know, you have to be careful answering that question. Otherwise you get put into that other corner. And like, wait a sec.
Yeah.
You may have a problem here.
They don't like you saying it's your job, but it is our job. So.
I like to tell people that I drink professionally. So,
and in many ways, that's absolutely true.
Yeah,
you do. Yeah, as opposed to how some would think of taking that. You know, meaning the guy down the corner bar who.
Right. Well, Mark is right that it's a lot of it is tasting and not drinking. You know, we go to these big wine tastings, which we haven't been able to go to for a while, and I'm hoping that that's another, you know, thing that is. Going out with the pandemic, you know, we taste a lot of wine, but we don't necessarily drink it all. You know, there's an awful lot of
spitting. That'll be one of the pandemic things, and clearly it has been, especially recently, there's been an awful lot of news around the mask and yes and no, etc. But the one thing that I thought science had taken care of early on was the surfaces were not a problem, and yet that hasn't budged yet.
I know.
So I'm curious as to when that is finally going to budge.
I'm hoping it's soon, because it seems. And the temperature checks, like that's just like, didn't we figure out like 8 months ago that if you have a temperature, it doesn't necessarily mean you have COVID and vice versa. So stop with the temperature checks. Anyway.
I one place I was walking outside, as Mark has seen me walking around. It was so cold. I walked into the place, got my temperature checked. They almost put me in the accident room because they said, how are you alive?
The hypothermia.
How cold it is outside.
Yeah.
So we've certainly covered a bunch of things. We know a little bit more about both of you. And if, as we were just saying, that if they don't catch that infectious spirit, literally, no pun intended, coming through Kim's or conversations with wine, then you might want to think about that. But certainly as a resource for Franklin and the world, the wonderful world of wine. Thank you both for participating today. I have learned and thoroughly enjoyed this. We're going to have to do it again sooner than later, that's for sure.
Thank you, Steve. And as a Franklin resident, I just want to add, I want to thank you for everything you do for the town, bringing the information. I don't think people, when they see your emails and hear your shows, realize how much work you're putting into it. And I really appreciate it as a resident of the town, what you do. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
And I think the whole Franklin business community, is such a tight-knit group. And I've really, I feel like it's one of those things that you see the love that the town has for, its residents and its business groups. And there's been a lot of people trying to work together through the pandemic, whether it is reaching out to each other or mm-hmm. advertising for each other or just, a helping hand or a positive review on social media. And it's such a warm, I feel like, inviting commercial community of business people in Franklin.
Yeah, it's good to hear from the neighbor view that, because absolutely. Certainly as I've seen, it's one of the things that's been heartening. Certainly the pandemic has been hard. There have been dark days, but there is hope. And there are certain lots of sparks here and there that I've been seeing in my reporting rounds. And yeah, I've hope. So it's good to hear from the outside view mm-hmm. that you recognize and see that as well. So excellent.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.